Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everyone out there in internet geekdom, and welcome to Keeping It Reals, the live show on the web that talks about all things geeky, whether it is music, movies, TV, comics. And well, speaking of movies, yep, that is going to be the topic for tonight because, hey, the Oscars were last Sunday, and you know what? Geekdom had a really good night. But you know what? Before we get to that, I am going to make other geeks, in this case, those that like me, are toy collectors, really happy. So a news report came out earlier this week that seemed to indicate that Toys R Us was going DOA. Well, it just so happened that I've been speaking to people who work at my local Toys R Us, and it seems like the chain is not going completely bye-bye just yet. The word liquidation was being tossed about, but what that was it was taking some toys that really aren't selling very well and just kind of sitting on the shelves and, well, moving them to stores that are closing anyway. So, yeah, as far as I know, Toys R Us is not dead yet, so everybody can still be a Toys R Us kid. I got to admit, I freaked out about it on Facebook, but it looks like it may be premature. It needs some TLC, and it's kind of on life support, but it's not gone yet. So, yeah, let's jump from that happiness to another happiness, because you know what? My beloved Trish is here. Hi, Trish. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's a Saturday. Everybody's always good on Saturday. And hey, I'm especially good because, well, did pick something up at my local Toys R Us, but you know what? Should we tell them or should we kind of keep it a secret? Should we kind of wait?
Well, I think that we should post the picture on our Facebook page and then make people go there if they want to see it.
Ooh, you know what? I like the way you think. Yeah, so after this is done later on tonight, I will be posting a picture of what I grabbed at Toys R Us. And hey, you also get to see my Pikachu shirt. But hey, enough about that. Yeah, enough about that. Enough about Pikachu. Nobody wants to hear about Pikachu. Pikachu wasn't at the Oscars, but we did get, and we weren't there either, unfortunately. I don't know. I guess we're not cool enough press to be invited to the Oscars, but that's okay because you know what? We saw it on TV from the comfort of our own home. And why don't you start things off? I mean, what did you think of Sunday's ceremony?
I thought that Jimmy Kimmel was good, but as a whole, I actually found the show kind of boring. I don't know. It seemed to lack a lot of the excitement that is normally with this award show. And I don't know why. It just seemed weird. It seemed very subdued.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I'm actually surprised because, I mean, there was a couple of things that, for me, kind of felt like I was expecting something more. First of all, the fact that there was all this talk about how the Oscars were going to embrace the Me Too movement, and oh, this is the first Oscars since last year with all the scandals and talk of sexual harassment. So. And yeah, no, it was clear from some of the speeches that, the ladies did feel this kind of surge, thanks to hashtag Me Too and everything. But I don't know, I was expecting it to be a little bit more there.
Fair? What do you mean?
There. No, there. T-H-E-R-E.
Oh,
yeah, I was expecting to be a little bit, and I don't know. I think the other thing is this is the 90th Oscars. This is like 90 years of Oscar. So I guess I was expecting, I mean, they did do stuff to acknowledge, like with the big awards, they kind of did clips of previous winners and stuff like that. But I was kind of expecting them to pull out all the stops, and they didn't. I mean, you think it's because, you know, so many people have complained in previous years that, oh my God, the ceremony was boring. Oh my God, it just goes on so long. Oh geez, Oscars, can you get on with it? Because I got to sleep because I got work tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it felt like they could have put a little bit more excitement into it. I don't know why it felt the way it did, but
yeah.
It was weird because, you know, we actually did see quite a few of the movies that were nominated, and usually when I've seen, a good portion of those movies, it makes the show more exciting to me because, you know, I actually know what they're talking about, but
yeah.
It still wasn't that exciting. And
yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not surprised that it got the lowest rating, you know, for an Oscars in recent years. You know, I think also a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, they keep, well, of course, it's been tradition for a while now. The Oscars always seem to nominate not very well-known movies. And so if people haven't seen it, why are they going to watch an award show about it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've always thought that the Oscars have a tricky job because the whole idea of the Academy Awards is celebrating the best in film for, you know, 2020 or 1997 or whatever. And it's like, the problem I have is how do you define that? Because if you go by, let's say, box office receipts, you have some really awesome films. Like, for example, Black Panther is killing it at the box office right now. But then you also have stuff that brings in a lot of money that, let's be honest, is utter crap. And do you give it an award? Because, well, people went and saw your movie and, you know, so here's an award. Because, you know, or, you know, and then what about something that's an actual good movie? But because, you know, maybe the subject matter is a little too controversial or maybe it's a little too highbrow, you know, does it not get an award? Because, oh, well, sorry, you know, nobody wanted to see your, you know, nobody wants to see your exploration of the possible homosexuality of Vincent van Gogh. So, nope, you don't get any awards. You know, I mean, do you get what I'm saying?
I don't know if it's always been like this, but as far back as I can remember, it always seems like, you know, this award show, it's always very pretentious with, you know, got to give it to, you know, the artistic films, the highbrow films, the ones people don't understand, because there really is a meaning to it, you know, and if you can't see that, then you're obviously not part of the elite. You know, and
yeah, or you know, or you're obviously not smart enough to see the deeper meaning behind, you know, all that.
There have been times where, you know, it was like back in the day, you know, they used to nominate movies that everybody saw, you know, and that were popular and that made a lot of money. And
It also,
I don't know when it changed.
I don't know. I think also, like, the interesting thing is you look at some past winners. I mean, even as like, you know, the Oscars when either of us were born. And it's one of these things where it's like, okay, how did this movie win, but not this movie? And it's because, see, that's another argument that I've gotten into with a few people, including my friend Julian, you know, which is like, okay, if you're trying to pick a movie that will stand the test of time and still resonate with people years later, in a couple of instances, it really hasn't worked that well. And
in many instances, it hasn't.
Yeah, it's
like,
like,
I can't even tell you who was nominated last year. You know,
I
remember
what
Moonlight won. I still haven't watched that. Still have had no desire to watch
Moonlight,
it.
Yeah, Moonlight won. It was supposed, you know, like there was the famous snafu with the envelope, and it actually, you know, and they had said La La Land, but really it was Moonlight. I think what was some of the other? I'm looking it up right now. Arrival was nominated. Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah. See, the fact that you have to look it up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that tells you how, you know, whatever they're nominating doesn't remain in anybody's consciousness, because nobody gives a crap about these movies that they nominate, because no one is going to watch Manchester Go Fuck Yourself by the Sea, you know, more than once. And even if they make it through one time.
When Brokeback Mountain came out, that was nominated for the Oscar. It ended up losing to this movie called Crash, which was this sort of look at like modern day racism and stuff like that. And I remember that Crash was not like very well received, but somehow it got, you know, somehow it got nominated. But everybody was saying, oh, it'll, you know, watch, Brokeback Mountain will get it. Watch, it's going to be this huge thing, and you're going to have the homosexual cowboy romance movie walk away. But then it's like, and the winner is Crash. And you had everybody looking and going, really? Serious? Wait, that one? For real? Like that one over Brokeback? Another example, and this would be... you know, the one that actually won over the one people were thinking, it's not like, okay, I'm thinking of around 99-2000, when the best pictures for that year were Elizabeth, Shakespeare in Love, Saving Private Ryan, The Thin Red Line, and Life is Beautiful. Shakespeare in Love ended up getting best picture. Although some people say that Private Ryan is the more superior movie. And it's like, Shakespeare in Love is not that bad. Like, I like Shakespeare in Love. Of course, you know me. I'm a huge Shakespeare guy.
I only saw it once. I only saw the movie once. And I don't feel the need to watch it again.
Well, I think it also has something to do with the fact that you're not a big fan of Gwyneth Paltrow.
As I was saying, I mean, Shakespeare in Love won over Private Ryan, and I'm just, you know, it's like, to me, I like both movies, but I kind of have to wonder why choose Shakespeare in Love over Private Ryan. I mean, what was the Academy trying to say? You know, I'm just very weirded out. I think the other, you know, and then There are times where just, I don't know, like, for example, I know Chicago won for Best Picture, and that's a, you know, that's a cool movie. Of course, also, that's the same year we had stuff like, we had the second of the Harry Potter films. We had Chamber of Secrets. We had Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. You know, so that I'm kind of, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I have to think, you know, getting a nice classic musical, you know, it was kind of nice that it won. You know, there was, you know, something that comes up in my mind is when Ring won 2000, you know, for the 2003 Oscars. That one I was very happy, especially because it was one of the very few times that that something won every category it was nominated in. I mean, I have to admit that it was a point where whenever I would hear that Lord of the Rings was nominated for something, I'm like, oh crap, it's not going to win. Heck, I mean, I remember the year after that, I was waiting for the host to make a joke about, good news, Lord of the Rings isn't nominated this year.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't know. It, It's like I love the Oscars, but then I hate the Oscars.
Yeah. Well, this year, I mean,
the very first time I can remember watching the Oscars was in 1992. It was the year that Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture. That's my favorite Disney movie. So, you know, I started watching the show and when they had like the live performances from Beauty and the Beast, I just thought that was so cool, you know? And so then I made a decision. Oh, I got to watch this every year because, you know, they do this stuff. It's really neat, you know? And, I watched it every year since. And it just seemed like it was so much better in the 90s. And now it's just, I mean, I remember at some point in the 90s, I think it was, you know, what was it called? They called it the Year of the Independent, whenever Fargo was nominated. I think, you know, it was nominated with a bunch of other independent films. I think that was like one of the first times when it had all these independent movies. And it was just, I remember not giving a crap about that Oscars. I still watched it, but I didn't give a crap because I didn't see any of the movies because I was a teenager at the time and they were all rated R movies. And so, yeah.
Well, that definitely does kill it. But yeah, first time you watched it was when Beauty and the Beast was nominated. That was like,
yep.
What, the 92, right?
Yeah, that's what it was. 92.
Or no, not actually not like 90 or 91 or 90. Yeah, it was 91. And yeah, I got to admit I know that
it's
year 90,
it was
Beauty
92.
Beast,
I know it's 92.
92. Okay, so it was for the 1991 Oscars, and that's when Silence of the Lambs ate the competition.
Silence of the Lambs. And you know, it's funny is I can remember what was nominated that year just because I remember Billy Crystal's song when he sang, you know, the song about the movies that were nominated. It was such a catchy song that, you know, I remember what was nominated that year. It's one of the only years that I remember what was nominated. But
yep. And then of course, the 94 Oscars for 1993. That was when we had Schindler's List. So it's like, oh, forget that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And one of the movies that was nominated with it was The Fugitive, which I actually think is an awesome movie. You know, plus you had, like the first of Tom Hanks's 1-2 punch where he won for Philadelphia. And like, that was when it's like, wait a minute, Tom Hanks, serious actor? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Say what? But yeah, this year, I got to admit, this year, I ended up being happy mainly because it's just like, mainly because of Shape of Water and Get Out. You know, Get Out winning for Best Original Screenplay, I thought was great. I mean, I cheered. And you know, you look at like what else was there, and let's see. The other nominees were The Big Sick, which was that movie with Kumail Nanjiani. You had Lady Bird, which I'm kind of like, I'm curious about it because I remember we watched the Golden Globes and they talked about that. The Shape of Water. And then you had that movie, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which to me, it's like, I think the entire ceremony, I was waiting for like Three Billboards to kind of come in and like take awards because, well, you know, oh, this is a movie, you know, but the fact that Get Out won, I was like, wow, like awesome, you know, and then the fact that Shape of Water got 4 awards, including including Best Director and Best Picture, I was over the moon. I mean, I think you remember I was actually tweeting and a couple of times I'm like, Viva Guillermo! Viva Mexico! I mean, that's the thing with having a Latin husband. Whenever my fellow Latinos win, of course I'm gonna cheer them on. Let's see what, and then what else? I know that Shape of Water got original score. That was number 3. Do you remember off the top of your head, like what was number 4?
Oh no. What?
I think, okay. Well, let me again, one of the great things about bringing this to show prep, having the things up on my phone while I have the switchboard up on the up elsewhere. It got Best Production Design, which, to me, I'm looking at what else was nominated, and I'm like, wow, I'm shocked, because you had Beauty and the Beast, Blade Runner 2049, Darkest Hour, and Dunkirk.
Yeah.
That's like another one where I'm like, the fact that they didn't give it to Darkest Hour or Dunkirk, since, you know, those are like period movies and stuff like that. And I think a couple of times it's been cleared that Oscar loves like anything that does not take place in modern day and like is obvious about it. So the fact that it wasn't Darkest Hour or Dunkirk, I'm like, that's wow. Holy cow. Oh my God. So yeah, I mean, I just honestly, like, okay, how do you, all right. That's the thing. I'm a huge fantasy guy. I love Guillermo del Toro, and the fact that a fellow Latino won, that has me over the moon. But what did you think of Shape of Water having like this great night at the Oscars?
Well, I was happy. I mean, it was one of the movies that we saw, you know, and that I actually enjoyed. And I was like, holy crap, sci-fi movie is going to win. You know, because you can't really call Lord of the Rings sci-fi. That's, you know, it's, what is it? I don't even know what you
would
call
it. Well, no, fantasy.
Fantasy.
I think you'd put it, yeah, fantasy, I think you'd put it under,
yeah.
You'd put it under fantasy.
Yeah, so to see something that's more sci-fi win, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Although, I don't know, do we call it sci-fi, or do we, or would it be, see, that's the thing, is it sci-fi or fantasy?
It had a creature from the Black Lagoon in it. I would kind of guess it's sci-fi. Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, it would be sci-fi. It would have to be sci-fi.
Yeah, I see, that's a, well, okay, I think, okay, best, like, worst case, if you can't narrow down one or the other, you say sci-fi fantasy, because having like a creature from the Black Lagoon type thing, you can get, you know, you can do either or, you know, like, you can have it in both, since it didn't nail down exactly where the creature came from, it was just this creature that they found like in the waters somewhere, you know. And by the way, a great little aside, I noticed that the Oscars kind of spoiled the movie a bit, because one of the scenes that they showed was the scene where Michael Shannon's character, or, you know, the main bad guy, they kind of show where he got his fingers bitten off. Like, they showed him in the corridor with the bloody hand and everything. So it's like, wow, okay. Spoiler alert! Damn! Now, okay, so the next one, though. The next one that I wanted to ask you about, because the other thing that made me really happy as a Latino, as a Hispanic, was watching Coco winning for Best Picture, and then it also won for Best Song. And in the aftermath of that, well, first of all, leading up to the category, a lot of people were going, oh, it's going to go to This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. And then afterwards, Remember Me won, and people were like, I don't know, I think This Is Me should have gotten it. It was a much better song. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I was actually surprised that it won. I mean, not that it's a bad song, in the slightest. I think it's a great song. It's just that hearing the performances of the other songs, you know, on the Oscars, I'm just surprised that one won over the others. So, I mean, I really don't have an opinion on which of the other ones should have won, but yeah, I'm just surprised.
It is. And if there's any category that Disney is just like grabbing the Oscar and going, my precious, you know, it would have to be, best, well, since it came out, best animated feature and best song. I mean, there have been years where it hasn't won, but still, it's like most of the time you could probably root for the Disney film and you wouldn't go wrong. You know, I actually did because I was I think we discussed this before, and I did talk about this with Joe and Shauna with Lovely's Cosplay when I met with them earlier in the week. And to me, I thought one of the things that may have played a part is the I think is the fact that after Greatest Showman came out, you know, yeah, people were praising the music and everything else. But at the same time, there was also like a little bit of there was like a little bit of controversy because a lot of people were talking about how inaccurate the film was, especially because if you look at real life, that P.T. Barnum was not this sort of savior of, you know, of these individuals, you know, the people that he used in his freak show, that it was actually quite the opposite. That, like, for example, the little person, you know, had been working since he was actually little. And, you know, it was the type of thing that Barnum took advantage of them. So I kind of wonder if having that real world stuff interfered with, you know, with the message of the film and the message of the song, and just had, you know, the Academy going, you know, it just kind of had people going, I don't know. Like if it scared them off, and then they were just like, okay, you know what? Disney always puts out really good music. You know, let's nominate the Disney song. No one's going to be mad about that.
Probably right.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it is, you know, I know that, as I've heard before, that there are things that, you know, I mean, it's always been talked that there are things that happen outside a film that can influence Academy voters. I remember when that movie Dreamgirls came out and it was nominated for Oscars. One of the things was Eddie Murphy, I think, was nominated for his performance in that movie. Of course, the same year we had Dreamgirls, we had that movie, Norbit. The one with Eddie Murphy and then like the really large lady. And it's like that movie was awful. That movie got like destroyed by critics. So it's one of the things where I've heard tale that because Norbit did so well and was so awful and was such an awful movie that killed Eddie Murphy's momentum for getting the Oscar.
See, I hate the political crap that goes along with these award shows. Because I've just heard that, you know, like you have to wine and dine the voters, you know, to get them to vote for you. And it's just crap. You should just vote on who you think gave the best performance. It shouldn't be based on personal feelings or, you know, whether or not they sent you a fruit basket. You know,
I mean, it also, it's like when it, in like the lead into awards season, it's even there because you have people taking out ads in Variety, and it's like, you know, like for example, let's take Spider-Man Homecoming. Okay. You'll have, it's like if, you know, if the studio wants to see if maybe Spider-Man Homecoming can get awards, then they'll be like, it's for your consideration, Spider-Man Homecoming. How about for best picture? How about for best directing? How about best actor Tom Holland? How about best special effects? You know, they'll have these ads where they'll pick like different categories and be like, you know, maybe you should nominate in this category. And then, once the nominations are announced, it's the schmoozing and the whining and dining. And even like clips that you see on the award shows, whether it's the Oscars or whether it's even the Emmys, you know, when we go to like TV, the clips are actually picked by the studios, you know, where they try to pick like the best clip that summarizes the movie or the performance, and then they send it in and go, see, this is why you should nominate this person, you know, and which also gets to like, it gets to a thing where some people even try to analyze like the clip that gets shown and go, dude, if you want to showcase like the performance that, you know, Emma Watson did in Beauty and the Beast. Oh, you should have used this scene instead of this scene, because this scene was so much better, and it really showed how great a performance she did. You know, it's like it's even something like the little clip, you know, becomes the thing. And it's like, well, you know, if they would have shown that clip instead of this clip, she probably would have won. Or that this movie would have probably won if it had been this clip instead of that clip. So to even that. You know, something I did. Okay, I did want to jump to a. There's something about the Oscars. It's not one of the categories, but it is one of the segments. Since it's come out, there have been people online who are not very happy with the In Memoriam section.
Yeah, I've heard that too. It's, yeah. You know, people are upset that that some people were left out of it, and I don't know. It's just
well, like for example, who was someone who was left out of the In Memoriam segment for this year's Oscars that got everybody pissed?
Adam West.
Yeah. Yep.
But
yep.
He was more of a television actor. Not a movie actor. So,
yeah. I mean, it's...
I don't know. I just don't think that...
Yeah.
I mean, I understand why people get upset by it, especially if it's, you know, that particular person's, you know, family or friends or something like that. But in reality, so many people in the industry pass away in a year that if...
Yeah.
They were going to put every single person in there. That would be the entire show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
also,
I mean, it would be. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, a day before the Oscars, it was when David Ogden Stiers passed away.
Yeah.
And it's the type of thing, like, I remember this happening before where this young actor, Brad Renfro, he died a few days before the Oscars, and he wasn't in the In Memoriam. And I think that they tried to put him in next year, like the next year. And it's one of these things where, I mean, okay, to play devil's advocate for a second, yeah, if you do everybody, then it eats up like a huge amount of the show. So you do have to, unfortunately, cherry pick. And it's the type of thing where, like, okay, you get the big, you know, you do get a few big names, like, for example, Carrie Fisher, Gene Wilder, Alan Rickman, you know, you get people that would be like that well known. And then sometimes you also have to pay tribute to people that you and I may not even know who the hell they are, like a Hollywood agent or something, but there are going to be people in the room who have worked with the person and like to see him honored. And it's like, you gotta, you know, and it's this weird thing where you can't please everybody because someone's going to be left out. But then on the other hand, it's also like, for example, Adam West does have a few film credits to his name, so it's the type of thing that if you simply just exclude him because, oh well, he's more well known for being Batman on the TV show, that's a little, I mean, that can be problematic in and of itself. Another person who was left out of the televised In Memoriam segment was Stephen First from you know, Animal House. Of course, I mean, I know that he does have a lot of TV credits to his name, like he was in St. Elsewhere. He was in Babylon 5, but he still has, you know, he still has acting credits to his name. Heck, one of his most famous roles was, again, Animal House, Flounder, and he got left off. So it's like, okay, what, you know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, it's just, it's, I, like, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know, because it's like, on the one hand, I understand, and on the other hand, there are stuff that even I would be like, come on, why did you leave them out? I will say this, though, because as I was show prepping before we went on the air, I did bring up the Wikipedia page for the Academy Awards, so that way, you know, you could have the information there handy, because, you know, we do... As much as this show is about, you know, shooting the shit and everybody having a good time, we still need to act like we know what the fuck we're talking about. So, yeah, I did bring up the Wikipedia page. I did check the In Memoriam segment. and it mentioned that the Academy Awards home, the Academy Awards website does have a photo gallery that includes, you know, that has the in memoriam segment, and it has people who were left out of the televised version. And I ran there really quickly and took a look, and yes, Adam West is there, Stephen Furst is there. There are more people there than they showed off on TV. So as much as they didn't get acknowledgement when we were watching the ceremony, the Academy does acknowledge them. You know, they didn't just wipe them out entirely. So there is that. I mean, I don't know. Is that does that kind of at least as far as you're concerned, Trish, does that cushion the blow a bit, or is it just like, you know, not? It's like, okay, yeah, great, you have them on their website, but come on.
I mean, it's okay to have everybody on the website, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think it's all right to do it that way. Yeah, it's just going to, you know, so you got to remember, you're not going to please everybody. There's always going to be someone complaining or not happy with the situation. So, you know what?
Yeah. Well, at least you, the best, well, you know, from when I was a receptionist, the thing I learned is you can't please everybody all the time, but as long as you make an attempt, then yeah, you know, it should be all right.
But pleasing yourself. What?
And here we go. And Iggy's joined us. And yeah, we're actually trying to, you know, like, diffuse the fact that a lot of people are pissed that Batman 66 was not in memoriam. And there you go, Iggy, bringing it into implications of masturbation. Okay, then. Well, there you go. Okay.
What do you think she was doing instead of being on the show, huh?
That's why she
tied up.
That's why she was late.
No, that does not help. Sorry. No.
That's why she was late. Okay, Iggy. Now be honest. Be honest, because you are live. Okay, be honest.
Uh huh.
Were you thinking about Chadwick Boseman? Were you thinking about Black Panther?
You know what? Chocolate isn't a flavor of mine on a consistent basis. I'm more of a vanilla type.
Okay.
Maybe a little like darkened, but vanilla. Anyway, Jason Momoa. I was totally like
Jason Momoa. Okay. Him. Aquaman. Okay. All right. Hey. That's fine. That's
you don't
fine.
Mind
I mean,
call
you
him Aquaman?
Know.
I would like to find out.
There you go.
They call him Aquaman because he makes you wet.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, he does.
Oh, jeez.
I was taking a bath. Oh, it's relevant. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, boy. Anyway, you know what? I think I got to be honest. Okay. I think this is a great time to kind of switch gears because, you know what? We've talked about movies that have won and stuff like that. But you know what? There were a lot of movies that didn't get nominated or did not win in their categories. Like Trish, I believe there was a movie that you were upset did not get to take some golden statue.
Yeah, I was pissed that Star Wars didn't win anything for like special effects or sound editing and stuff. And so they give it to Dunkirk. It's like, okay, I understand you guys, you know, think Dunkirk is some amazing movie, you know, whatever. But wow, you know, special effects and sound. It's, you know, stuff that we've seen in Saving Private Ryan and all these other movies.
Yep.
Whereas with Star Wars, you know, it's all sci-fi fantasy. They got to make this shit up. And I think that's, you know, more deserving of an award instead of a bunch of crap we've seen already.
Well, one thing, I mean, I do have to agree with you as far as sound editing or sound mixing is concerned. Like, I was very surprised that Last Jedi didn't get at least one of those, simply just for that scene when the Resistance capital ship smacks into the flagship of the First Order. I mean, the fact that they did that scene in total silence, that they waited, you know, and you had this silent visual before cutting in with the explosion, you know, with the sound. That was incredible. I mean, I was, you know, I saw the movie, what, three times? And you saw it
four? Yeah, did you?
Yeah. So all three times, I'm like, wow, holy shit, this is awesome. And it's like, I'm just like there's a part of me that, well, see, there's a part of me that does want to see Dunkirk. And there's a part of me now that is curious about seeing Dunkirk, because it's like, okay, how did they get the award again? I mean, I'm honestly kind of wondering if they got the award because it looked like, you know, Shape of Water was going to win. So it's like, okay, let's give Dunkirk something, because, you know, people have said how much of an acclaimed war film this is. We got to give it something so that we don't look like
assholes.
Yeah,
there seems to be a very, like, clear flavor for winning at the Academy Awards. It
yep.
seems like to me, like, you know, if,
yeah.
if you have this air of old timey, elegant, kind of boring movie that picks up somewhere in the middle, but it's gritty and riveting and passion and, oh my God, look at this mature drama.
It just seems to win.
If you have to fit the category of maturity that the Academy Award has put in there, and then you win the award. Otherwise, you just only get mentioned.
Yep, or you get, or they give you a techie award.
Yeah, it seems like also it's, you know, they'll nominate this, and it's like, oh well, if you win this, more than likely you're not going to win the other one. You know, like they'll if someone's nominated for best screenplay and best directing, you know, they might get one of those, but very rarely are they going to get both.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. But
which is why I think Jordan Peele got best screenplay, but he didn't win best director. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
but,
why don't we do our own
what?
Little awards?
You know what? That's it. Well, that's what we're gonna do right now. So you know what? Since this started off about Last Jedi getting snubbed for the awards that it was up for, you know what, Trish? Since you were the one who first like vocalized her dislike, what award, real or imagined, would you give Star Wars: The Last Jedi?
Well, best special effects.
Okay.
Best sound.
Okay.
I even would go so far as, I don't know if he would necessarily win, but I thought Mark Hamill should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And
there we go.
And it should have won for best Original Score, which it didn't. It was nominated, but it didn't win that either. Yeah.
But you know what, John Williams, if you're listening, we still love you, man. Come on, you will be the soundtrack to our hearts.
I honestly wish that it would have been like best director would have gone to Kevin Feige. I would have been screaming. I would have been so happy. I would have been jumping up and down for joy and going, "Yeah, that's right, one for the nerds, man."
For
yeah.
Kevin Feige, well, what did he? Here's the thing: what did he direct? I don't think he directs anything. I think he's just the man behind the desk over at the Marvel stuff.
He is the man behind the desk, but he has directed several movies. Hold on, let me pull it up for you.
Okay, but did he direct anything this year? That's the thing. But while you're pulling that out, I think with Star Wars The Last Jedi, if I gave it an award, see, I would give it the award for pissing the nerds on the net. Because, I mean, it's just, let's see, what were some of the things that, let's see. You got people getting mad about the fact that Last Jedi kind of had like a, you know, went in like this different direction, which you know, started the whole nerd rage of like, you know, you had the memes where it's like, Episode 7 comes out.
Oh my God, I hate it. It's like New Hope all over again.
Episode 8 comes out.
Why the hell did you make all these changes? You're ruining the franchise for me. You're killing my childhood. Rian Johnson is taking my childhood into the back of the van and killing it.
It's like, mm-hmm. Wow, you're not happy, are you? And it's like, oh, Luke Skywalker.
Oh my God, why is Luke Skywalker this mopey guy sitting on an island with a bunch of freaky little Ewok birds? You've ruined my hero. Luke would never do that.
It's like, hold up a sec. This is, we're talking about the same character, who tells his uncle, I wanted to go to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters, who, like, you know, whined at, you know, whined about, Yoda's gone, I don't know what to do. You know, who's like, whining at the ghost of his mentor while, like, freezing to death on Hoth. Ben, come back. It's like, wait, seriously? You know, this is the same character that was like the, no, it's not true. It's impossible. Like,
yeah,
really,
like,
he was...
It's not true, that's impossible. Kevin Feige was totally a producer, hasn't done anything this year. Son of a bitch.
Okay,
whatever.
See, all right, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Hey,
dream.
You know what? Since he's puppet master of the Marvel movies, it's easy to kind of think, oh, wait a minute, you know...
Well,
you know, oh, he directed
from being
this.
Director, exactly. Like, he goes from being director, and then it's easy to forget that he took, like, the administrative seat here, and, you know, so... But no, as of 17 and 18, he has not directed.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just in the executive producer seat, and he ends up being the guy that pimps out a lot of the movies.
Hey, I don't blame him. I'd be sitting there, too. More money.
Yep. Now, let's see. One of the... and I got to admit, I know that the Golden Raspberry Awards are always... you know, they're always like the night before. I know that 50 Shades Darker got a bunch of awards. I know that they were also ragging on what's it called? They ragged on Justice League, but you know what? I think I'm gonna do. You know, I'm gonna be nice here, okay? I'm gonna be a nice guy because you know what? I'm gonna give.
That's a first.
Yeah, I am gonna give though. I'm gonna be a nice guy because I'm gonna give Justice League. I'm gonna give it an award. Okay, I am going to give it an award because you know what? And I think for me, it deserves the award of so close, yet no cigar. Because you know what?
Cigars?
But you know what? But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. They tried. Okay, they tried. They were really trying.
Okay, so they get like a cigarette. You get a cigarette. You don't get the cigar. You get the cigarette.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the thing. We're going to give you, you know, we're going to give you a golf clap because it's like, oh, you know, you know, we're going to give you a little golf clap because it's like, okay, you tried. You really did. You were trying to tell people, hey, look. Remember Wonder Woman? Remember how cool it was? Yeah? Yeah, remember how awesome Wonder Woman was? Remember that it was like a happy movie? You know, it wasn't all, like, dark and dreary, and, you know, Wonder Woman is somebody who loves being a hero. Remember that? Hey, we're going to do that here, because look, see, it's not all dark and dreary. Oh, and hey, look, we brought Superman back, and everybody loves him, and hey, look, it's the Flash, and he loves hanging out with people, and, you know, and he's making all quips and stuff, like Spider-Man. See, look, we did something cool. Hello? Why won't you love us? We're trying here.
Oh my
goodness. Why don't you love us? I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's like, oh, wait a minute. Uh-oh, because you have Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder has to take a break. In comes, oh, God, not J.J. Abrams. Joss Whedon. You know, Joss Whedon comes in, lightens up the movie. But then it's like, uh-oh, they had to bring back Henry Cavill, and they had to CGI out his mustache, and now Henry Cavill's face looks all sorts of what-the-fuck weird. All sorts of, wow, this guy is not human type of thing. You know, you bring in Joss Whedon, and now people are like, okay, this looks like Zack Snyder, I'm a dreary asshole, but now we're happy, so this looks like Joss Whedon. I don't know what to do! You know, so it's just... I mean, honestly, it's like, okay, you tried. You tried to be like, guys, no, you remember Avengers was cool? Okay, look, it's Superman and Batman and Flash and Wonder Woman and Aquaman. And look, Aquaman is Jason Momoa, and he's like freaking smolder hot. Come on,
yes, he is.
Love
mm-hmm.
us.
These are facts.
Love the movie. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, and then, of course, we have another nerd rage moment because people are like,
you know what? You should find the Zack Snyder cut, and you should release the Zack Snyder cut, because chances are the movie is so much more awesome with Zack Snyder instead of freaking Buffy Joss Whedon idiot.
And it's like, okay, first of all, no. Zack Snyder having total control of a superhero universe means that it's fucking dark and depressing, and it makes me want to drink myself into a stupor. That's number one. And number two, from everything I've heard, there is no Snyder cut. There is stuff that was cut from the film, yes, but there's no, it's not like the Superman Richard Donner cut, which, you know, they managed to like take like footage that already existed and then, you know, put a couple of little things here and there. No, it's not like that. Okay, so no, sorry, there's not going to be a Snyder cut. Please stop with the butt hurt.
I have a question. What the fuck is even what the fuck is Shape of Water? What is that movie even about? I haven't gotten a chance to see it because, quite frankly, I heard about it and it sounded fucking gay. But what is it about?
Trish, I'll let you take over this.
Oh, I get to talk now, really? Okay. Oh my God, Trish! Okay, Shape of Water. It's about a woman who's mute. She can hear, she just can't speak. So there's some sign language going on in this movie, which is actually pretty cool. And I think it takes place in, what, the 50s? I want to say 50s or early 60s. And she works at a government facility that is, like, super secret. Stuff goes on there. And she's in the cleaning crew that goes around and cleans up all the mess that these stupid scientists make. Well, anyway, they bring in this creature that they found in South America. It looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon. And they're trying to get information out of this creature. And she feels a connection to this creature and starts to have a relationship.
Oh, this is the fucking weird alien porn thing going on, right? This is the one where she falls in love with it and, you know, like, tries to find a way to, like, I don't know, marry it or something. Yeah, no, it's weird. It's fucking weird.
It is a bit weird. It's Guillermo del Toro, you know, which tells you how it's weird. And
okay,
yeah,
and that's what pisses me off about this. Okay. We got to draw the line at weird alien porn. Okay, I'm gonna back up from there. Okay,
I was awfully scared. I was awfully surprised when he helps this thing escape. And they go back, you know, she takes it to her apartment where she lives, and this thing has to live in water for the most part and stuff. And then it's like she gets it in the bathtub and all settled in and all this stuff. And then they're looking at each other, and I'm like, man, they're kind of looking at each other like she's looking like she wants to have sex with this thing. And I'm just like,
oh, well,
no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, right? And then all of a sudden she takes off her clothes, and I'm like, holy crap, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay.
We'll see.
I was not
expecting
that.
Guillermo del Toro is basically like a more mature. Okay, now follow me on this one, okay, because he's a more mature version of M. Night Shyamalan, okay? Because M. Night Shyamalan has these fucking arbitrary fucking twists in there. Like, where the hell did that come from? And how is this related to the entire hours of my life that I wasted? Okay? That's M. Night Shyamalan, okay? Trying to think he's witty and be like, ah, I really got you there. I'm like, yeah, you did. I see what you did there. But because you did that, it pissed me off about the entire movie. But
well, actually,
Guillermo
likes
to have you perpetually questioning, saying three words, just saying the same three words over and over again. What the fuck?
Well, see, Guillermo, okay, I actually like Guillermo del Toro as a filmmaker, especially because there's two types of what the fucks. There's what the fuck? Like, the hell am I watching? What is wrong with you? You're an a-hole. You know, why'd you put this on screen? But then there's a what the fuck of like, wow, I'm literally blown away. You know,
you said it wrong. That one is what the fuck.
What the fuck? Yeah, see there. Okay, there you go. There you go. I like your nuance better than mine. But like, you know, Del Toro is one of these guys who will put like such effort into the look of a thing. You know, that's the thing. You can tell he cares about the product and that he's trying to do something new, or, you know, trying to give, like he doesn't use the term eye candy.
Oh, yeah, by having a human fucking alien, he was very invested into that one, and something new is definitely going to come out of that one.
Well, see, here's the thing. No, but here's the thing, Iggy, because slight spoiler, okay, because we do have, you know, the lady and the aquatic creature. We do have them having sex. But then we also have a sex scene between Michael Shannon, who's playing the bad guy, and his wife. And it's like we have the two sex scenes in the film, and actually the one that's more the beautiful one, the one that you're like, "Oh wow, that's actually beautiful," is the one with the lady and the water creature. Like, that is actually more beautifully presented.
No, that's because when you have sex in a body of water, it automatically becomes beautiful, okay? It just, that has nothing to do with the alien. Aquaman,
okay.
That's acceptable. That thing, no. What the fuck?
Okay. Okay.
No, okay? And also, I like how everybody just skipped over the fact that it's a fucking mute chick working at a what is it, top secret, whatever. How fucking convenient, huh? I wonder why you hired her.
Yeah. Well, Trish, should we let Iggy know about those two scenes in the movie that surprised the hell out of us, or should we leave that as a surprise?
Now I got to watch the damn movie, cuz now I'm like, what the fuck, man? Trish is fucking with me. Maybe she's they fuck each other and I'm going to watch it just to get me to watch this whole thing and it didn't happen. I'm like, bitch.
Well,
you got me.
Here's the thing, though, Iggy.
What I lied to you, Iggy. What
well,
I
and here's the thing. So, okay, another little incentive for you to watch. There's something that happens twice in the film. I'm not going to say what it is, but we see it happen twice. And all I got to say is, first time it happened, I was like, whoa, okay, wow. So we're going there. Okay, then, not what I was expecting. And then second time, I'm like, and here we are again. Okay. Wow. Alrighty then.
Are we talking about you losing your virginity?
No.
Similar.
No, we're talking about the movie. We're talking about something that happens in the movie. Okay? And I'm not going to say what
anal.
It is.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Eddie.
It's
the
anal.
Thing that
it's
happened,
probably anal. Okay.
Okay, Trish, I'm talking about the thing that happens towards the beginning of the movie. And then we see it again.
I don't remember. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, remember, the movie begins with her. Okay, remember, Trish. Remember
you're talking
that
about
the movie
how
begins.
She, how she times. You're talking about how she times her eggs, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Just
how
leave it at that.
Fucking what? I'm sorry.
How she times her eggs, because she likes to boil eggs.
Okay.
That's all we're going to say about that. No, that's all we're going to say about that, because we're not going to give it away. You have to watch now. You have to watch it now.
Is she masturbating?
She,
you have to
watch masturbating?
I'm not going to say. We're not going to say.
Clever. Because if you time it right, you can get that's multitasking. That's clever. That's interesting.
Trish, I'm trying to get her to see the movie, so I'm trying not to blow that.
Sequence. We just told her that there's masturbation. We just told her that there's masturbation and there's sex with an aquatic creature. Of course she's going to watch it.
Yep. Well, and then of course there's Michael Shannon having sex while two of his fingers are starting to rot off.
Disgusting. What the fuck? Why is anything having sex with that? You know what? I'm done asking questions, because the more that I dive into the shape of water, which, by the way, water doesn't have a fucking shape, which is automatically stupid, but whatever, okay?
Okay.
The more I'm like, this is one, like, this has to be, like, a little flavor of one of the seven layers of hell. Like, this has to be, like, the brochure promotional video. See, it's not so bad. Ha, just kidding. It's all weird as shit and fucked up.
See the movie, Iggy.
I don't.
See the movie.
No.
See
like,
the movie
I,
and come
I want
back.
To because I'm masochistic. I don't want to because it's some weird shit. But then I want to because it is some weird shit. I don't know, man. I'm just, I don't know.
Iggy,
it
hasn't
happened
yet.
It's always a happy ending.
It does have a happy ending.
Well, multiple happy endings.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Clever.
Very clever. Anyway, well,
I at least expect to see one sporting scene in one way or another. It is The Shape of Water.
No comment. Yeah.
Well, clearly, Guillermo del Toro had his head in the fucking gutter when he was making this movie. Okay, somebody, please respond to his fucking dating profile.
No, I honestly don't think that he had his head in the gutter, but yeah, definitely some weird shit. But then again, with Guillermo del Toro, I'm used to it. But switching gears. Okay, switching gears.
Don't judge him. The motherfucker's a genius. That is art.
I get it. Okay, I get it. I digress.
Okay, moving on, because we, you know, there are other movies that I do want to.
I
want to
time this the same way
here.
That she did.
Yeah.
But
here's the next film that I do want to think we should give some sort of award to. Spider-Man: Homecoming. I think I would give it the award, and Trish. You would probably agree with me. I would give it the award for third time's the charm. This is like the third time, this is the third time that they've attempted to do like Spider-Man, and it's like, whammo, you got it. You're good.
Finally got it.
Like, for example, Trish, how excited were you to see this movie?
Not at all. Well, okay, no. I didn't want to see it until he showed up in the Avengers movie. When Spider-Man showed up in the Avengers movie, I'm like, hey, he's actually fun. He's actually upbeat. He's not a depressed teenager that watched his uncle die.
Like, he's just fucking awesome. Yep.
Yep.
I might watch a Spider-Man movie with him. And so I decided, I'll take a chance. Because I hated the first two Tobey Maguire ones. I refused to watch the third
one.
And then when the Andrew Garfield ones came out, I'm like, nope, don't care. And then with this one, I'm like, okay, I'll go see it. And I'm glad I did, because it's a really good movie.
Yep. And it's interesting, because they got it right. And we did not have a flashback to Uncle Ben dying. We did not have him.
Thank God.
We did not have him angsting about the whole "with great power comes great responsibility" thing. I mean, okay, yeah, you know, there was a thing where he's like talking to Tony Stark, and he's like, "Come on, I want to do something." And like when Tony takes the suit, it's like, "No, you can't take the suit." And it's like, "You're not responsible for the suit. I'm taking the suit." So I mean, we did get a little of that, but it wasn't piled on. It wasn't like piled on, like, you know. Too many toppings on a sandwich. You know, it was in just the right amounts. And yeah, he was this happy guy in the suit. You know, he was somebody who did quips. So yeah, finally they got it right. And it's like, here you go. We at Let's Be Reals and Keeping It Reals are giving you an award for thank you for getting it right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And looking forward to Homecoming 2. It's like, come on, let's have lightning hit twice. Come on. Show us what
and
else you got.
Deadpool and Deadpool 2.
Spider-Man's going to be showing up in Infinity War, so you know, let's see how Spider-Man goes up against Thanos. That sounds like it's going to be fun. So yeah, I think next, you know what, Jordan Peele, it's awesome that he won Best Original Screenplay for Get Out. I do think, though, I do want to give Get Out, first of all, I do want to give it the award for kind of introducing like a new level to the horror genre, in the sense that it's like, okay, you know, we're going to take race relations, and we're going to take the horror of it. And we're going to put a new spin on it. You know, I got to give them kudos for that. I got to give them an award for that. I also have to give them a very unique award, which is very near and dear to my heart. It's giving it to Get Out, to actor Bradley Whitford, for basically looking exactly like my dad. It's like, have you seen?
That was
okay.
So scary. That was so spooky.
Iggy, have you seen Get Out? Did you see Get Out?
Nope.
Okay. Watch the film Get Out. Okay, Bradley Whitford plays... No, watch it. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Okay, watch the movie. Bradley Whitford plays, like, the girlfriend's dad. You know, the main character has the white girlfriend. He plays her father. If you see Bradley Whitford, you are basically seeing my father. He looks, like, almost, I'd say, 99.99% like my dad. I mean, Trish, you've met my dad. You've met my dad a few times now. Yeah. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, remember, I'm the one that turned to you and said, God, I said, that looks exactly like your dad. And you're like, oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I even actually...
All of a sudden, the movie became that much more terrifying for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd use the word terrifying, but all of a sudden, this new level for the film opened up for me. And I'm like, okay, and now I'm seeing, it, you know, especially just because of the way, like, didn't he say, one of Bradley Whitford's lines is, well, I would have voted for Obama for a third term if I could. And it's like, I think my dad has said something like that. Of course, I've said something like that, but, you know, given the context that we're dealing with, it's like, holy moly, you know, it added a new level that just made the movie that much more fun and enjoyable, I think. Not that I wasn't having a good time. I actually was enjoying it very much. But
you know what movie,
okay,
what movie I think deserves an award that didn't get nominated for jack shit? Wonder Woman.
I was surprised.
Wonder Woman should have gotten nominated for something. You know,
yeah.
I even would go so far to say that Patty Jenkins, you know, deserved to be nominated for Best Director.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, like, I remember our friend Big Matt kind of went off on, like, on Wonder Woman a bit. Of course, he's a history teacher, so, you know, he does look at certain things with a very critical eye. I mean, a student of history, so even I realized it wasn't totally accurate, but yeah, it should have. I was surprised it didn't get like production design or, you know, or special effects or sound editing or something like that. So I was greatly surprised it didn't get anything. What, you know, I mean, I don't know, Iggy, do you think it should have gotten something?
What, the movie Get Out?
No, Wonder Woman. We're on Wonder Woman right now.
Oh, Wonder Woman, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what would you?
Yeah,
well, if you had
should
to,
have gotten.
Hell, okay. If you could pick, okay. If you could give it any award, real or imaginary, what would you give it?
The best female empowering movie of the year.
Okay.
Literally, I felt like I could probably start like beating the shit out of people. I literally looked into gyms like, okay, well, before I start beating the shit out of everybody, I need to get in shape. Okay, and the reason that I'm still not taking training and beating the shit out of people is because I don't have discipline, okay?
Okay,
so now I respect
right.
these women that I'm watching. I don't have that, okay? I'm not going to give up
okay.
my coffee or my sin that I can eat, and I'm not about to go wake up early in the morning when I could be sleeping to get sore to come back and die some more. That's great that they do that, and I'm really impressed. But I wasn't empowered enough to look into it. So.
That's hey, you know what? That's okay. Although I gotta say, Iggy, I think you would look really badass doing one of those slow motion slides on the floor while swinging like a sword and cutting somebody's hand leg off.
I'm probably gonna be really bad at my knees and my back, though. See, and that's the thing. Like, can you know? Then the braces get expensive. You know, like knee
okay.
braces.
Okay, that's
you know,
a, well. You know what? See,
fucking,
this is okay. This is why. This is why you gotta find.
Therapist.
You gotta find the right, Iggy. This is why you gotta find like the right armored boots. You know, you gotta find like the right padding so that you can do that. Like, you know, you gotta find like the gauntlets, the boots. You know, you gotta get yourself like a badass shield.
Oh, now we
see,
now
that's
we delve into cosplay territory. You have my attention. Yes.
Okay. Well, but see, that's the thing. If you want to do the badass slow motion slide while swinging a weapon, you gotta have like the proper gear. It's not just doing it on the bare knees. You know, you got to have the thing to pad the knees and, you know, do a little bit on the legs so that, you know, you don't scratch that. You know, you got to have the gauntlets, especially so you can cover your elbows. You know, you got to have the shield so that, you know, you could cover most of the body. So, you know, there's ways to do it. You got to have the proper equipment. You got to have the proper equipment if you're going to do it. It's not just the workout. You got to have the equipment to go with it. Am I right, Trish?
Yes. Very true.
Yeah,
sure.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely.
I think,
indubitably.
Yep.
Can I give Wonder Woman an award? I want to give an award for hottest female lead.
I cannot argue.
I have nothing but respect for Gal Gadot, especially because she did training with Mossad, and I don't want to say anything bad for fear that she will kill me, and it will not only hurt, but it'll be like an instant of pain, and then all of a sudden I'll be at the pearly gates, and St. Peter will go, dude, why did you throw shade on Gal Gadot? And I'll just be like, I don't know. I was stupid. That was dumb. Is there any way we could turn the clock?
She also seems like a genuine person, like a genuine
person.
And I love the fact that she didn't like immediately go out and get herself like a boob job or something, you know, to make herself conform more to what Hollywood considers hot. Because, I mean, I didn't even realize it until I saw her at the Oscars. She doesn't have much of, you know, much in the way of boobs, really. But, I mean, that doesn't really matter so much, but, you know, to a lot of...
Honestly, I'm
perfect. Well,
I got to be honest. I have, like, absolutely no problem. Like... To me, it's you know what, her body is just her body, the whole package. I'm like, nope, I'm good. Like I would not want her to get a boob job. I would not want her to get a boob. She doesn't need a boob. In my cochino hombre, I'm like, nope, no, her boobs are fine. They're fine. She doesn't need to do anything with it. Look at her in costume. Look at her when she has like her you know. At home Amazon gear, and I'm like, nope, no, I'm good, I'm fine, no, it's all good to me. You know, I'm cool.
I need a boob job. Brand new fact. Just trying to keep it real. What's up?
Okay, all right, keep it real. I think last, you know what, we're down, you know, as we're getting down to the wire here. But you know what, I think there's one movie that we need to give an award to. We need to give some sort of award to. You know what? I want to give the last movie I want to give an award to. I want to give something to Thor Ragnarok. Okay, I think we need to give it an award. For me, I think I would give it an award. I would give it the award of, you know, thank you for showing us that you can do a movie about gods and cosmic shit and have it be super fun. Because like, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy showed us fun sci-fi. But it's great that Thor Ragnarok picked up the torch. It was nice seeing Thor, you know, it was nice to have jokes with like Thor and Hulk and Jeff Goldblum as Grandmaster. So I got to give it that award. Like, thank you for that, Thor Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know what? It just hit me. I think there's one more award that we need to give because, you know what? And it's a movie that we already talked about earlier on the show, but I would be remiss if we did not give this movie this award before we wrapped up. I think Coco deserves another award. Coco deserves another award. You know what award I think it gives? It gives thank you for giving me flashbacks to my childhood and making me fucking cry again.
Uh-huh.
It's like once again, Coco proves it. Coco is like, okay, hey, guess what? We're a Pixar movie, and you know what? You haven't cried in a while. So, motherfucker, we're going to have you cry. I swear. the scene at the end with like, the great... What was she, Trish? Was she the great-grandmother? Was she the grandmother?
Great-grandmother.
The scene with the great-grandmother, I'm like, fucking crying. I'm like welling up tears, especially when he's there.
Oh my god!
I'm like, shit. Because I'm imagining my two grandmothers. I mean that whole movie. Even though those are Mexicans, I'm having flashbacks and I'm getting teared up. And I'm like, fuck you, Pixar. You did it to me again. Why the fuck do you keep doing that? Stop making me cry.
They should be sending out themed little packages of Kleenex that you get on your way into the movies. You know, they should have little cocoa tissue, little up tissue, little inside out tissue. You know, it should be a little thing that you get when you walk into the movies. Because you're like, here, you're going to need this.
You're going to need this. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm fully expecting Avengers, or not Avengers, Incredibles 2.
Oh.
I'm bringing tissue. I don't care. I don't care that it's Avengers, that it's Incredible.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking cry. No, I'm
crying. Okay, because the first Incredibles didn't really have a tissue moment. But you know what? If they're gonna do a Toy Story 4, okay, we're bringing motherfucking tissues. We are gonna bring. You know what? And we're not gonna bring one of those travel packs. No. Mark this down. Mark this down. Okay. Toy Story 4 comes out. If we see that in the theater, we're not bringing one of those little freaking travel packs. We're going to go to Costco. We're going to buy like a big pack of multi-pack of tissues. We're going to bring – I don't care if we get stared at by the guy who takes the tickets. We're bringing that motherfucker in because we're just going to be like, no. This is a – look at the ticket. It's a fucking Pixar movie. We're bringing this shit in. And I swear to God, if we get to a part where it looks like the tears are coming out, I'm standing up in the middle of the theater with like a box of tissues. Who needs it? Who needs this?
Yep.
Who needs the box of tissues? Here, you. It's like you and row 7. Here, heads up.
We'll just start passing the box of tissue down the row.
Pass them out. I will get up. I swear to God, I will get up. I will pass the tissues out, and I will be like, nope, you're gonna need this. Here. Here, you know, if I see a little old lady, I'm going to be like,
hey, don't be
ma'am.
Stingy. I need 3.
Yeah, see, I'll just give like an entire box. I'm like, here, use the box. Use the motherfucking box. Because it's like, especially because, again, Toy Story.
I need a lot because I'm over here on mocosa and shit, you know, so I need. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. It's like, hey, we have a fourth Toy Story movie coming out. It's like, okay, yeah, no. That is a tissue box one. That is it, because like if it's anything like Toy Story 3, where it's like oh we're gonna make you think that your favorite characters are gonna burn to fucking death, but no wait that's okay, they're okay. Oh wait, let's do this emotional thing with Andy giving his toys to the little girl. It's like fuck you to hell. I'm crying here. Damn it, don't
and
do that
why,
to me.
And that's why Kevin Smith called that movie Schindler's Toy Box.
Exactly.
Oh my god. Yep.
I did. You know, I think final thought, before we get into before we wrap things up, before we get into like other show stuff. I did see that somebody was saying, I think it was Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan, he who directed Dunkirk, he who did the Dark Knight trilogy, Inception, apparently he loves Black Panther. He loves it a lot, and he says, you know what? It's going to get nominated for Best Picture. Watch. And I got to be honest with you, I'm really hoping that he is right. I would die of happiness if I wake up... like a year from now, like around February or January when they mention the nominations, and it's like, and for Best Picture, Black Panther, for Best Director, Ryan Coogler. That happens, I'm going to be like, oh my God, this is fun. Like, it doesn't even have to win. Just the fact that it would be nominated like that high, I would just be like, wow, okay, I'm good. You know what? This is
especially
okay, take
if
me now.
Nominated a year later, especially a year after it came out, if it gets nominated, that's pretty incredible.
That would be incredible. I mean, honestly, it's like I would love if it doesn't happen. I'm not gonna be hugely disappointed, but if it does happen, I'm gonna be like, okay, wow, we have actually made it. Hell, if Infinity War gets like some nominations, especially in special effects and stuff, I would be really happy. For me, it's like I'm on a high now. I'm like on a high because of the shape of water.
I think Disney actually made a mistake. You know, I think that they put Star Wars in December, you know, because I think they were thinking that that movie was going to get nominated for more awards than it did. And I think they didn't have enough faith in Black Panther
that they made it a February release when they should have released. They should have switched it.
Yeah.
Or even just put Black Panther or put Black Panther earlier in December, because yes, it had been nominated with, you know, with in the time frame needed to be nominated for the awards this year. I think it would have been nominated for a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I.
Uh-huh.
Me too.
But, you know, but a year from now, when nominations start, you know, are people going to remember?
Yeah. Well, hopefully, because it's still
it's
still going in theaters. It's still raking money, and it hasn't even hit home video yet. I think once it hits home video, that can start things up again, and people can be like, oh shit, oh yeah, this movie was awesome. So here's hoping. I mean, here's hoping. That is the one thing that worries me, is the fact that it came out in February before the ceremony. So it does kind of concern me that, that it can be quickly forgotten, especially if we have something like, and we're nominating this film, which talks about the struggle of this woman through cancer and getting attacked, on the night of her bachelorette party. So it's her struggles against her body attacking her and society attacking her. And we're giving a best actress nomination. We're giving the best director nomination to the director of this. It's nominated for best picture and best actress, fill in the blank. It's Jennifer Lawrence again in a powerhouse performance that really makes you think, especially in this day and age. Yeah, see, I don't know. Maybe I should work for the Academy doing this type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just coming out with this verbal diarrhea to make it sound like, you know, yes, our nominations. This is all about creating the new language of film and empowering the medium of film to tell messages that, you know, really need to resonate with the public at large, and blah 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 blah. It's
more
like
blah, blah. Absolutely.
Well, does anybody remember that? Does anybody remember that cartoon, The Critic? The one with John Lovitz as the main character.
John Lovitz, I fucking miss that dude. Oh my god, I haven't seen him in a minute.
Yeah. But yeah, the film The Critic. I know there was one thing where the main character was being made fun of for like his film choices. And it's like at one point he's like walking down the hall and he's singing and he goes, I like French films, pretentious, boring French films. I like French films, one ticket, s'il vous plaît. It's like sometimes I feel like that should be the anthem. That should, you know, forget like the instrumental stuff that the band plays underneath and like the, you know, in the orchestra pit. Just like take that song, rework the lyrics a bit, and just be like, we like pretentious films, boring pretentious films. We like boring pretentious films, one ticket, s'il vous plaît. And just like, and just like keep showing clips of, you know, all these period pieces like Remains of the Day and things like that. And, you know, clip of like, you know, Casey Affleck being all emo in Manchester by the Fuck You Sea. You know, just do that. You know, so that way
selfish,
we know, oh, okay, this is what we're in for. This is what we're in for. Oh, jeez. Yep. And, you know, on that note, I think I do want to switch. Let's switch gears. Iggy, is there anything you can, is there anything you can tell the audience? What, in addition to basically sitting here listening to us rag on award shows and passing out awards, what else is going on vis-a-vis Keeping It Reals and Let's Be Reals?
Well, Eddie, a couple big news to share. Starting off with Let's Be Reals is officially a limited liability company.
Okay.
We are legitimate, guys. Yay. So
yep,
a lot of changes
cool.
and different things are going to be popping up, but more relevant to the audience. I literally just got the email yesterday. I have been approved to go to Ring of Fire Comic-Con here in Virginia Beach. And
Ooh.
As well as MTAC Comic-Con in Nashville, Tennessee, and Tidewater Comic-Con, but that's not until May here in Virginia as well. So, if you guys are around here and you want to poke around, just do it.
Okay.
Keep it real.
And what are you going to be doing at these cons?
So I am going to be advertising Let's Be Reels as the actual geek culture production company that it is, and we'll be going into details of what Let's Be Reels can be doing for you, and as well as Keeping It Reels live on the air. This is this will become the mother show. So as more information comes up, we will let the audience know. But it's, you know, if you're a true fan, you're going to find out. But that brings me to another point, Eduardo M. Fryer. We need to have a chat about the future.
Okay. Okay, but we're not going to. Yeah, unfortunately, kids, we're going to be having it off air. So no, you don't get to listen to that.
To be continued. Oh.
We may share details, but certain details. But yeah, you know, when Iggy and I converse, it's not.
It's an evil master plan.
Yeah, we basically meet in a dark room with, like, you know, just like spotlighting and, you know, talking vague terms.
Don't forget the painting walls.
Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. So we're going all Shining here. All right. All right. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Really.
I
don't know where the hell this
I can work with that. I can work with that. I can work with that. So yeah. But yeah. We do have. Hey. We got Iggy's going to be making some real life appearances. And yeah. You know, we're working on stuff. We are definitely working on stuff.
Stuff and things. Things and stuff. That's right.
Things and stuff. Yeah. Things and stuff. And. We are, and actually, can we reveal for them, what we're working on for next week, or should we keep that a surprise?
No, go ahead. Go for it.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, no, actually, you know what? Actually, now that I think about it, maybe, I don't know. I want to keep it a surprise.
Oh,
I think we're
gonna keep it a surprise. Yeah, the audience got cock teased. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, well, see, hey, you know what? I've been cock teased a few times in my life, so you know what? This is payback,
Rich,
damn it.
Why would you do that to him? That's awesome.
Damn it, I am paying back life, okay? Because life can be a giant cock tease, so you know what? I'm just adding to it.
No truer words have ever been spoken. That is
Dagnabbit.
So time your life, Eddie, does that make me a cock tease? Oh yes, the best type. What?
Oh boy.
Yeah, answer that carefully. You're in treacherous waters.
Oh boy. Yeah. No, you know what? You know what? This is.
I'm rendered speechless. Oh my god.
Well, I think
because
it's. Well, I don't. You know what? We'll talk about this later. We'll talk about this later, Trish. Yeah, we will talk about this later because, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what being cornered looks like. That's
yep. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, right now you could change my name to Baby because I'm in the corner. Yeah, you could change my name to Baby because I'm in the, I'm in the corner here. I need Patrick Swayze to bail me out. Oh shit! I can't because he's dead. Okay, that's it. That's it. Then.
Oh,
wow!
Damn it!
Where's Whoopi Goldberg for him to possess? Because yeah, I need help here. I need help. But you know what? I think on that note, I'm gonna sign off now. I'm gonna sign off for this episode. Yep, I'm gonna sign off for this episode. This is Eduardo M. Fryer and. I'm joined, of course, by my wonderful, beautiful wife.
Patricia Fryer. Cockpiece.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was, and of course, trying to put words in my mouth is my my other fellow co-host and fellow producer of Keeping It Reels and Let's Be Reels.
Izzy Matthews, you guys keep it
yep.
real.
Yep, and
how
yeah.
How do you feel
and
about
just...
someone else put something in your mouth? Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is. Oh, boy. Yeah. I was.
And
yep.
The award
hey,
for
looks...
most awkward reaction goes to Eduardo
yeah,
and Fryer.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to thank the Academy. You know, I'd like to put this to God without whom I wouldn't be here. Oh, God. And we're out. By the way, Iggy, yeah, see, I don't have any idea about what to do for next week. I was hoping you had an idea. That's why I kind of did
good,
that at the
good,
end.
Because I didn't either, so I totally passed the buck over to you because I'm, you know, yeah. So you handled it
yeah,
well. Pretty good. All right, we're on
yeah,
the same
okay,
page.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
so,
good.
You know what? So yeah. Awesome. So if anything, I think, okay, so no, that's not a problem. Here's what we'll do. I will call you sometime during the week, either Tuesday, more towards the evening, because I get off work at like 2:30, and it takes me about a few minutes to get home. Or I will call you on Wednesday, probably like before lunchtime,
let's
my time.
Let's do a Disney show.
Okay, you want to do it? You want to do a Disney show? You want to do that next week?
Oh my God, Disney show! Let's talk about all the Disney movies that are coming out this year.
I'm down.
Okay, you want
an hour and a half show?
I mean, you did okay, but you already did that with the Disney podcast. You don't mind doing it again?
Yeah, so no one listened to it. So.
Ow. Okay. All right.
I'm down.
All right.
Well,
so,
I'm sure some people did, but you know, there's no point. Yeah, you know, we can do the same thing. Yeah. You know.
What she's trying to say is that yes, I know I did a Disney podcast already, but I didn't do it with Iggy. That's different.
Yeah, and exactly.
Oh, okay,
it's
that's
just
sweet.
Like, at least on this one we can swear or we can say what we really think.
Okay. All right. You know what? That's okay. All right. So that's okay. So that is next Saturday. Okay. So we have next Saturday down. That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, Iggy, I
but
will.
We're still gonna meet on Tuesday evening, or if you have, because I'm available.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tuesday
yeah.
evening, and if you can't, then Wednesday evening.
Okay, so yeah, and then we'll plan out. We'll try to plan out at least a month. Okay, you're doing that
and
con
then I
in
can
May.
And catch you up on information.
Yep, and you're doing that convention in May. At least one of them, right?
Okay, so March 23rd is when I'm doing. I'm actually ripping this off from you guys.
Okay.
I'm doing a Women of Doctor Who podcast.
Nice.
Okay. Now yeah. Wait. Okay. Is it that you want to host on this one, or you're going to another podcast to do it?
No, I'm going to a convention on March 23rd. That's Ring of Fire, and
okay.
March 30th, I'm
mm-hmm.
going to MTAC in Nashville. And then
okay.
May, I'm going to be going to Tidewater Comic Con.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Now I. Okay.
And with
oh.
Us
okay.
Being
okay.
An LLC. I just
yes.
found out with us being an LLC and having all these Comic Cons under our belts, as let's be real, I can get press passes. So let me know if you want to go to a Comic Con. I can get press passes.
Nice. Okay.
Right.
Awesome. I will be.
Somebody,
you know what?
But it has to be to somebody who's had experience and has had press passes before. Well, shit. I just so happen to know the right person.
Okay.
I mean,
well, you know what? I will. Hey, I. You know what? I may take you up on that offer in the future. But yeah, I. That is really cool. I mean, the only reason I want to
yeah.
know, like, when you do the cons, is because you know, so that way we can. We can appropriately prepare. So if I have to, you know, so if we have to call Norman and tell him, hey, can you come on the 23rd? Or, you know, if we have to get any of our buddies to come on. So, you know, it's.
Yeah, Norman, he's going to be coming with me to MTAC to help me with that one. I actually was pleasantly surprised.
Okay. And then that's the one on the 30th.
That's the one that's on the, yeah, it's the 30th through the 1st.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. Okay, so yeah. So basically, yeah, I just wanted to know your schedule so that way I could appropriately, you know, get fill-ins and, you know, people to get in the conversation so that it's not, so yeah, that poor Trish and I or just myself or poor Trish are not, like, the only people there.
Gotcha.
But,
yeah.
On
either Tuesday mm-hmm. or Wednesday.
Yep. Okay, all
right,
so yeah,
now.
We'll talk about it.
Next
we'll
Saturday
get, we'll talk
at
about,
9 p.m., we're doing Disney.
Okay, all right, so Disney's in, Disney
sounds
movies.
Good.
And if anything, we'll even like, if we can find, like if we have a chance to see Wrinkle in Time or, you know, if we find something like, we could put out, you know, we could talk about the fact that it came out. We'll keep an eye out on how it does. If we have a chance to see it, we can talk about it. Mm-hmm. If not, you know, we'll talk about how it's like, if we haven't seen it yet, we'll just be honest. We're like, oh, we haven't seen it yet. According to the news, it's done this and this in the box office. So, you know, we'll run with that.
Okay, perfect.
So there you go. I mean, does that sound cool to everybody?
Yep.
Yep.
I have to pee. I have to go.
Okay, well, go pee. Go pee. I'm going to shut things down here. I will meet Trish downstairs because we should really be talking about dinner because it's like 7:30 right now. All right. food and belly is always a good thing.
All right. Well,
so,
yes, love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
I will talk
to
you later, Iggy. Trish, I will see you in like a couple of minutes.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
A couple of minutes. Nigga, you upstairs. The fuck you need a couple minutes for? The fuck are you doing?
Travel time to downstairs. Go pee.